Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 22nd day of November 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And if that date begins to ring a bell, folks, it should, because it's the 60th anniversary of what is arguably one of the most important dates in American history. That, of course, being the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, and almost certainly even more catastrophic, the destruction of the American Republic and the cover-up that has followed now for six full decades. Most Americans do now know that the magic bullet is BS and that Lee Harvey Oswald, if he wasn't a complete patsy, certainly didn't act alone. One thing's for sure, he didn't orchestrate the cover-up, nor does he run the various three-letter agencies that have been continuing that process ever since. It led us to the point where instead of having the youngest and actually intelligent president in American history, we have the oldest and undeniably senile, as well as a traitor. But ironically, most Americans now probably know that JFK's election may actually have been the result of dead voters in Cook County, Illinois, while the Biden puppet wasn't elected at all, but installed. Oh, and even more ironically, by arguably the very same people, or at least entities, that orchestrated that violent overthrow 60 years ago today. And one final irony, too. I didn't even realize this until I looked it up today. Two other famous people, arguably both of them anti-tyrannical, Aldous Huxley and C.S. Lewis, both died on this very same day, in the very same year, 1963. So, we'll start off today with some stories that relate to one of the many reasons that JFK may have been assassinated. He wasn't a big fan of the unconstitutional Federal Reserve, which is very clear from history, and you could argue, vice versa. Although, of course, the evidence is still hidden. But day by day, the evidence continues to emerge that the almighty fiat dollar is literally not only long in the tooth, but perhaps on its last legs. Here's a piece about the Great Bifurcation, courtesy of Russia Today, which says Western currencies have now almost been completely phased out of trade between Russia and China, as nearly all payments between those two countries are now carried out in rubles and yuan, said Russian First Deputy Prime Minister Audrey Belousov earlier this week. Since the introduction of Western sanctions on Moscow by the criminal banksters that run the swamp, Russia and China have accelerated what they already intended to do anyway, but now have no good reason for not following through on the use of their own currencies in international trade. According to Belousov, 95% of all transactions between Russia and China are now carried out in one of those two countries' national currencies, and given the rapid expansion of mutual trade and cooperation, says the piece, that percentage is likely to grow, although it's only got a little ways until it gets to 100. Speaking at a meeting of the Russia-China Intergovernmental Commission in Beijing, the Deputy Prime Minister said bilateral trade between the two countries will exceed the target of $200 billion this year and may reach $300 billion by 2030. And as any number of commentators have been pointing out for years, including your host, the threat of the BRICS countries continues to grow, and ultimately they intend to stop using the dollar for trade outside the Western bloc entirely. The ramifications, of course, are massive, and most Americans won't figure it out until it's too late. And on that same subject, Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog notes that there are more problems with the big banksters. J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Wells Fargo have all had their ratings downgraded lately. That's the reason, he says, why I'm watching the banks so carefully. They are, or at least were, folks, the beating heart of our economic system. So if they get into big trouble, and they will all feel the pain. That happened, as you perhaps recall, back in 2008, and it's in progress again right now. And just in time for Thanksgiving, three of the too-big-to-fail and too-big-to-jail banksters have had their ratings downgraded by Moody's Investment Service, which cut the outlook from stable to negative on all three of them, Bank of America Corp., J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. And acknowledging the problems, analyst Peter Nerby of Moody's said the worsening outlook on bank debt was due to, quote, the potentially weaker capacity of Big Brother, i.e. the government of the United States of America, or what now passes for it, to support the so-called systemically important banks. When the bucket's broken, who bails out the bailers? But that's not all. Wells Fargo has just permanently shut down 13 more branches in a single week. There are other indicators that show the banks are getting tight with their credit right now. Rejection rates among applicants increased by 2.1 percentage points in 2023 to 20.1%, and that's way above the 2019 level of 17.6%. Existing home sales have fallen to the lowest level since 2010, and major retailers are acknowledging, it looks like shoppers will be spending less this year for the so-called holidays. Best Buy, Lowe's, Kohl's have all reported sales declines during the most recent quarter as of Tuesday, and are forecasting holiday sales to drop even more from a year ago. Earlier this week, folks, I did the story about the U.S. Army. After having given so many good soldiers the boot because they wouldn't submit to suicide by lethal injection, is now begging for them to come back. And many of them are saying, hey, you asked for it, go pound salt, or, well, something a bit more blunt. Can't say I blame them. Those of us that actually want to serve may end up deciding, hey, why don't I fight for my own country's borders? But now there's this from Jim Hofton, the Gateway Pundit, about a poignant and downright critical statement that comes from a former soldier of the U.S. Army's 82nd Airborne Division, who's expressed his profound disappointment, to put it mildly, and frustration with the Biden regime. And you'll never guess, folks, what they're trying to do to these people now. Brock Michael, who recently concluded his 4-year stint of active duty, shared his grievances in a now-deleted video during what was called his gear turn-in day, a standard procedure for departing military personnel. His primary contention revolves around being charged an exorbitant amount of money for military equipment, almost $4,000, that he was ordered to abandon during the Biden-Führer's gift of it to the Taliban in Afghanistan during that tumultuous, to put it mildly, withdrawal of U.S. forces there. The charges came as a shock to the soldier, especially considering the circumstances under which he was ordered to leave that gear behind. And it looks like now Big Brother's trying to charge those soldiers who survived that debacle for their own incompetence, or arguably worse. Because hopefully you recall that the Biden-Führer regime armed the Taliban terrorists with 80-plus billion bucks in U.S. high-tech weaponry, machines, equipment, and ammunition when he surrendered all of it to the Taliban and fled from Afghanistan in 2021 and ended up arming so many other terrorist groups all around the world. The total? Over 75,000 vehicles, more than 600,000 weapons, and 200 aircraft, from helicopters to drones to transports. And almost all of it, folks, things that Big Brother won't even allow once free Americans to possess anymore. Ponder the irony there. But it seems that even more soldiers, sailors, and Marines aren't just saying go pound salt. They're doing something about the abuse that they've suffered as well. Sadly, though, they're trying to rely on the U.S. legal system for remedy. Here's a piece from Martin Armstrong and Armstrong Economics when he says, do you remember that 100,000 or so U.S. troops that were discharged when they failed to submit to these Zyklon B experimental injections? They did so at a time when recruitment was already at an all-time low, and that effectively prevented many of them from ever, quote-unquote, serving their country. But now, many of those discharged troops have joined in a class action lawsuit to sue the Biden regime for lost wages and benefits. He provides a link for anybody else that wants to join the lawsuit, which says, quote, this is the greatest reduction in force since the end of the Cold War and likely the greatest self-inflicted threat to national security and military readiness in our nation's history, as we face the prospect of war with rival superpowers on multiple fronts around the world. Congress, the case summary continues, saw the damage that this was doing to our military and national security and ordered the military to rescind the mandate in January 2023. But unfortunately, Congress did not explicitly order the military to provide back pay and financial compensation for all the service members and veterans harmed by the DOD COVID-19 mandates. The lawsuit acknowledges that the vaccine was not only unlicensed but experimental. And those involved believe that the back pay alone will cost the government billions of fiat bucks. And because these people were expelled, quote, without the benefit of any due process, no boards were held, they didn't hold any administrative separation boards, they didn't hold any hearings, they didn't do any federal recognition boards, none of the administrative or judicial procedures were used, they just flat out did it. And then they got the Coast Guard to follow along, and they got a bunch of Coasties too, said Dale Sarin, retired Marine, one of the primary plaintiffs. Noting that the Defense Secretary's sick original order only required military members to take licensed vaccinations. And as Martin Armstrong puts it, given the way Big Brother has treated the troops, and your host adds what they seem to think of the concept of national defense, I don't believe there'll be any meaningful spike in recruitment, he says, because no one feels passionately about these foreign wars that simply don't aid America. As a result, he suggests the military will soon be comprised of illegal immigrants, now some of us would say invaders, wishing to stay in the U.S. I wonder if the U.S. military will reject dual enlistees in the People's Liberation Army when things get really tight. And while I intended that for a bit of counterpoint humor, I think we actually already know the answer, which, hey, leads me directly to this next story that I've actually seen more than one place about how the Air Force base at Minot, North Dakota, has been warning service members there that their continued service, they put it in quotes, could be jeopardized if they dare to attend a local rally featuring a speaker supporting Uh-oh. The guy who must not be named and must be punished and certainly cannot be allowed to even enter a presidential race anymore. You know who I'm talking about, because he actually won the last one. President Donald Trump. The Air Force basically said that the Dakota Patriot Rally, which took place at the state fairgrounds in Minot, was described by Air Force leadership, SIC, as an alt-right organization. And therefore, if you know what is good for you, verboten. And an anonymous spokesperson for Turning Point Action that the Air Force doesn't seem to like nearly as much as, say, Antifa, BLM, or even the local drag queen chapter of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, told Fox News that the recent Dakota Patriot Rally was not officially recognized by that organization, but the spokesperson did say that the threatening message sent by Air Force leaders was, quote, absolutely appalling. And furthermore, they weren't alt-right anyway. They're a mainstream conservative organization, which, as you know, folks, is every bit as bad as far as Big Brother's Standing Army is concerned. And I can't help but harken back to how the Biden Fuhrer warned Americans that, hey, your AR-15 is going to be no good against our F-15s. No wonder the military is having problems getting real Americans to sign up. All of which, folks, leads me to harken back today to a piece from June of 2021 on, as it turns out, this very same subject. Adolf's acolytes, whether we're talking the CCP or their marionettes in the swamp. In this case, though, it looks like the Biden Fuhrer has gone so far that even the sycophants at the Daily Mail in the UK aren't quite drinking his Kool-Aid. Here's their headline, and I'll do it with proper emphasis based on their use of capitalization. Biden blames guns for surge in crime. Got to change this word to something more appropriate. Fuhrer announces crackdown on gun dealers and mocks Second Amendment, you know, the thing he put his hand on a Bible and lied about, by saying you need nuclear weapons to take on the government. The bullet points go on to say that the marionette in chief laid the blame squarely on the proliferation of guns on Wednesday, and forget about all their encouragement to criminality. The Daily Mail even admits that Republican attorneys general warned last year that the riots would inevitably lead to a surge in crime. And they point out that the senile one is wagging his finger in the wrong direction. Biden warned Americans, the piece begins, to brace for a summer of violence. And let me say this, no, not for the reasons he's pushing, but precisely because of what the Bolsheviks have been doing and now intends to escalate to make darn sure it happens. He went on, they said, to mock Americans who believe that they need firearms or even have a God-given, once constitutionally protected, right to them to protect them from a government that's doing exactly what the founders warned us about. And in the process, folks, he spat on the graves of all of those Americans who pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors, or literally died for those rights that he and his ilk are now taking a crap on. And the Daily Mail offers this quote, if you want to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, well, you'd better have F-15s, he said, or maybe some nuclear weapons. Let me say this again, folks, as kindly as I can, given the situation. This guy stole an election, laughed in your face, then put his hand on a Bible, lied and laughed in your face again, and is now basically coming right out and telling you, you don't have nukes, I do, you're toast. What are you going to do about it? And this shouldn't surprise anybody. He threatened licensed gun dealers, too. Back when free Americans could own property, folks, you didn't have to be a licensed anything in order to buy, sell, or trade. Obviously, and especially the only kind of property that was explicitly enumerated in the Bill of Rights as shall not be infringed. But now he's telling licensed gun dealers that they'd better dot every I, cross every T, and make darn sure they know who butters their bread, because he promised, as the Daily Mail put it, zero tolerance for any dealers who can be caught breaking the rules. His proposals to focus on gun dealers rather than criminals, and his mockery for anybody that can read the Second Amendment, brought a rapid backlash, it says, from Republicans who accused him of bowing to the radical left wing. And listen to this vapid idiocy. Says the Biden Fuhrer, quote, no one needs to have a weapon. Oh, I could have stopped there. That's basically where he's headed. No, he said, no one needs to have a weapon that can fire 30, 40, 50, even up to 100 rounds, unless you think the deer are wearing Kevlar vests or something. Where again, he demonstrates his complete and total idiocy and ignorance of everything even remotely associated with American history. I guarantee you, his Secret Service deer are certainly wearing Kevlar. These merchants of death, he said, are breaking the law for profit. If you willfully sell a gun to someone who's prohibited, and of course, as we know now, folks, real soon now, that means you. My message to the Biden Fuhrer to you is this. We will find you, and we'll seek your license to sell guns. Oh, they're planning more than that. We'll make sure you can't sell death and mayhem on our streets. Evidently, he means, that's our job. And they haven't been your streets for quite a while now, have they? But from here on out, I guess I'd better go right to the horse's you-know-what. Some of this stuff, you've just got to hear him try to read right from the teleprompter. Because it sets a new standard for duplicity, even for this scumbag. He starts right out with lies and keeps on piling them on.
And I might add, the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own.
What a crock! Obviously, this airhead has never read it. There's no mention whatsoever in there of what type of people it applies to or doesn't, because this blithering idiot, and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt there, doesn't pay attention to what is explicitly being forbidden from doing exactly what he is doing. It is an explicit prohibition on the government, and it says very simply, succinctly, and categorically, it's the people, that doesn't mean you have anything to say about it, you scumbag, the people's right, and that means it's God-given, pre-existing, and a natural right that's merely being protected by the Constitution, the people's right to keep and bear arms, listen carefully, all of you tyrants, shall not be infringed. Doesn't say which arms, because it means all of them. And shall not is a pretty general prohibition, not on any of the people, but simply a complete prohibition on this government from this Constitution.
You couldn't buy a cannon.
Most people didn't need, couldn't afford a cannon. Thomas Jefferson, though, and maybe this helps to make the point that the scumbag speaking here is such a liar, had one at Monticello.
And I might add, the Second Amendment from the day it was passed limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know.
Yeah, I know. We know. And obviously you don't.
Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the Tree of Liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there have never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
And ha ha, you peons, not only do you not have those, pretty soon you're not going to have pistols or AR-15s, much less ammo for them either. Ha ha, aren't we clever?
The point is that there's always been the ability to limit, rationally limit, the type of weapon that can be owned. And who can own it?
That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You get it? The only place that was ever true was on a slave plantation. And that's what he's talking about, because as far as he's concerned, you're still a slave. And in Joe Biden's senile, twisted, demented, mafia-like mind, where only his made men can have weapons, slavery never ended, and all of you slaves are still subject to his absolute will. Slaves can't own property, especially weapons, and when they get their way, and they're really close now, neither will once free Americans. Look at history. They'll lie about it. The founders didn't want Americans to be feudal serfs, subjects of the crown. And that's why we have protection for those once obviously understood to be God-given rights. And just to set the record straight, let me read the actual quote from Thomas Jefferson that this guy objects to so vociferously he gagged just trying to get it out of his lying mouth. And Jefferson's talking about exactly what seems to have happened. Once Americans got fat, dumb, and lazy and quit remembering their own history and law, and obviously now the men who fought and died to protect rights they no longer give a damn about. Quote, and what country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that this people preserve the spirit of resistance? Let them take arms. The Tree of Liberty, he said, must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. unquote. And I guess this fits, too. He won't quote it at all. Thomas Jefferson in a proposal about the Virginia Constitution. And while it obviously happened simultaneously, this actually predates the signing of the Declaration of Independence, June 1776. Quote, no free man shall ever... And do you catch that, folks? Here's the element that the racist evil Biden Fuhrer is gloating about. It underlies every comment he's made about how not everybody could keep and bear arms, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, just like then, those people. And now we get to decide who those people, and I guess we won't call them N-words now, he's probably thinking, but you know what I mean, really are, and they don't get to keep and bear arms. Even while he accuses those who understand the truth of being the domestic terrorists. You want to see real racism writ large, folks? You want to understand real Jim Crow laws and who it applied to? Look and see precisely what they're doing today. It's been repeated throughout history. The party of lynchings that brought you the Ku Klux Klan and the very first gun laws in the United States, and if you'll study history, you know precisely who they apply to, is clearly at it again. Don't let them lie to you. This is as Hitlerian, as satanic, as evil as it gets. Why, hey, come to think of it, it's almost right up there with mass murder by injected bioweapon. But it's the very same motivation, the same evil spirit, and the same goal. And yeah, the book of Ecclesiastes had it right thousands of years ago. There's nothing new under the sun. So with all of that on the table, and with the historic context clearly in mind, let's quote what Thomas Jefferson had to say about the proposed Virginia Constitution in the middle of 1776. He was historically anti-slavery. Note that he tried to put a clause explicitly into the indictments of the Declaration of Independence against it, and that was struck against his vociferous objections in order to achieve the unanimous consent that simply had to happen. And long before the Constitution and the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights were written, Jefferson had been talking about the right to keep and bear arms for over a decade and a half. So listen carefully to how he put it in the context of the controversy of the summer of 1776. Quote, no free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. The strongest reason for the people to retain the right to keep and bear arms is, as a last resort, to protect themselves against tyranny in government. And no, the Bolsheviks aren't about to remind you of any of that. And I want to throw one more dot into the mix today before we begin to connect a bunch of them. This comes from Whitney Webb via the lastamericanvagabond.com. I also saw it up on places like Zero Hedge, entitled, Who is Really a Terrorist in Biden's America with a K? Far he begins from being a war against white supremacy. The Biden regime's new so-called domestic terror strategy clearly targets primarily those who oppose U.S. government overreach and those who oppose capitalism and or globalization. Most disturbing, he said, in this call to essentially fuse intelligence agencies, sick, law enforcement, sick, Silicon Valley, and community and so-called faith-based organizations, such as the ADL, as well as unspecified foreign governments, as partners in this war. What the strategy makes clear is it will rely heavily on a pre-crime orientation, focused largely on what is said by people on socialist media and encrypted platforms. They're taking out not just the Second and Fourth Amendments, folks, but also what's left of the First as well. Finally, let's quickly dispense with this, we care about you and want to stop crime, bull you know what. These are people who are letting terrorists and murders in mass across the southern border, releasing convicted felons from prison in the American cesspool central cities, and have already destroyed the entire concept of honest law enforcement. Whether we're talking about defunding police in those cesspools or suborning perjury and covering up for treason at the highest levels of the FBI. Meanwhile, they're so transparently full of it that they try to call you a domestic terrorist, racist extremist, not to mention all kinds of other purgatives they've used for a long time, like conspiracy theorist, Trump supporter, and vaccine denier, because the real goal is obviously to demonize and then kill you. And it looks more and more like a whole lot of bitter clingers aren't going to take the poke and aren't going to turn loose of their Bibles or their guns. So it looks like they're back to doing what you already knew they'd been planning all along. It was obvious in June 2021, and while it's even worse now, folks, don't forget who we serve and why it's a good time to give thanks for all of that. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.